Welcome to Biz Talk. I'm your host, Ryan Herpin, and this show, to put it simple, is really about bringing business professionals, entrepreneurs, and executives into conversations that make real-world expertise practical and useful. It's too easy to overcomplicate things, especially nowadays. Now, today, we are focusing on financial clarity, not just numbers on a page, but the decisions people have to make with taxes, estate planning, investments, retirement, business ownership, or, well, major life changes suddenly become a whole lot more complicated. My guest today is Cecily Welch, a CPA, certified financial planner, personal financial specialist with more than 30 years of experience providing financial counsel on income tax, estate, gift tax, investment planning, retirement planning, and new financial complexities such as, well, inheritance, divorce, death of a family member, or a new business venture. So, Cecily, welcome to Biz Talk. It is such a pleasure to have you on today.
Thank you. It is an honor for me to be here. We've spoken before about the joy and importance of educating people on this topic that impacts absolutely everything we do. I like to tell people, I care about people, the world cares about money. So the more people who know about money, the better the world will be.
I could not agree with you more. Something that recently I was meeting with one of my clients, and they just kept talking about their customers. Just they want to make more money, make more money, make more money, and I had to stop them, right? And had to tell them, people say they want to make more money, but why do they want that money? A lot of the time, it's for peace of mind, freedom of choice, ease of pressure, and being able to decide what you do in your life, right? And it's just a very interesting thing, but I love what you do because unfortunately in our education system, we're not really taught enough about proper financial planning and strategy. So, really dive right into this. You have spent more than 30 years helping people understand money during important life and business moments. I'm curious, really, what drew you into this type of work? Because I know from 10,000 feet to most people, it might not look the most fancy or glamorous, to dive into this world, but what drew you into this?
For me, it's pragmatism, and it's always been. And I think I can tie it to something that happened when I was a child. Well, relatively. I was in college. Actually, I just graduated from college, and I came home and I asked my dad, I was like, hey, let's go to Red Devil. He looked at me and said, Red Devil is closed. I'm from Detroit, Michigan, and it was an insanely amazing Italian restaurant. And I said, well, what do you mean it's closed? I love that place. I love it. I love it. He said, well, when was the last time you went? All I could do was close my mouth. Support means money. Everyone likes to think all altruistic and this is what I like, this is what I need. But when we don't talk about the economics of it, that can't possibly be relevant. So the pragmatism of everything we do is impacted by taxes. Everything we do is impacted by the economics of it. We'd like it to be different. Maybe we will, maybe we don't, but that's almost irrelevant. The fact is, it is.
It's funny because I was taken aback there for just a second because I don't know if we covered this before, but when you said Red Devil, it rang a bell for me. And I was trying to place my finger on as to why. And you're from Detroit. I'm actually from Battle Creek, Michigan. Been to Detroit countless times. And I've heard of that place multiple times. And it was freaking me out. But you're right, though. There's so many. When you don't understand business or finances, it's easy to make assumptions or have this gap of knowledge and understanding for what really can change, how fast things can change, what really does make something feasible, an idea, a business, whatever it may be. And with that understanding of, it gave you a glimpse of, okay, well, there's value here. There's a lot of stuff that people don't know. It does kind of lead to another really important question because unfortunately, almost everybody in life runs into financial complexity. That's just the reality of it. But when someone faces a new financial complexity, such as, inheritance, a divorce, a family loss, or maybe a new business venture, what is usually the first thing they need to understand?
I think when life complexities happen and life urgencies happen, we need to all do a better job of slowing down and communicating. We, as a society, we talk about personal and private things all the time. We all know different intimate things that people do or don't. You learn about them. You learn about them in school. You talk about them with family, friends, parents, serious or joking. But somehow money is personal, private, and a secret. I get the personal and private, but it shouldn't be a secret. We've gotten to that point where I've met with clients talking about inheritance things and how are we going to plan. And they get very nervous about, well, I'm not sure if I need to talk to my children. I was like, your children are 55. Come on now. If you really have an issue with that, then we've got to talk about some other things that you haven't done along the way. No one needs to know the details of your bank account, but the biggest frictions that happen when people pass is that everyone thinks they're doing what mom wanted, they're doing what dad wanted, because that's what they told them at one point in time. But everybody wasn't in the room, or maybe that was 5 years ago. Everybody is adamant. This is what they wanted. This is what they wanted. But you've never had them all in the same room, all at the same time. And the misconceptions of, well, what happened? Dad had five properties. No. The bank had five properties. But
That's such
because
a
we don't
good point.
talk about that, it causes tons of friction where it doesn't need to be.
You know, and especially in a stage of life where a family member is lost, and unfortunately, there's so many stories I've heard about families just tearing themselves apart because of they're fighting over these what they believed were assets or what they thought, you know, someone had in their accounts, and it turns into an event that fractures a family, and they don't even actually know what's going on. So I agree with you, you know, keeping it secret is not necessarily a good thing. You know, in my family, in my household especially, we're transparent when it comes to money, when it comes to all that type of stuff. So as our kids grow, they have the full picture always. We want them to have that so they can learn from it. And, you know, something that really kind of stands out to me here is what you're addressing is the human side of this. Yes, the
Precisely.
financial side, the understanding of it is really, really important, but you seem to really understand how people feel in these situations.
Well,
And it's
because
like
if
your
you,
motive to address it is in accordance to that.
100%, because if you ignore the money personality of who you're working with, you're not doing them any service whatsoever. You
That's
have
such a good point.
to actually understand, can you implement this? I need to know a bit about your money personality. Frankly, that's part of why I went out on my own many years ago. My approach has always been pragmatism, which is a little uncomfortable for a lot of partners at big CPA firms, a little uncomfortable for the insurance that has to pay the liability. If someone comes in and asks me, hey, when should I take my Social Security? I want to maximize it. Yeah, we'll do the calculations. We'll talk through it. But then we go, here's what the numbers say. What is your family like? How long do people live? You're Hispanic and you work in the fields. Well, I'm sorry, you're not gonna live till you're 80. You know,
Right.
when I'm talking to people in the Black community, we've got those. It's all those socioeconomic things matter because they matter. It's a numbers question. So then the discussion is different. But insurance gets a little uncomfortable, and partners get a little uncomfortable when they're like, "Wait, how did you give advice that's contrary to the calculation?" So I didn't give advice. I gave them information so they can make the decision. And I
Yep.
assure you, the Black man I'm talking to, he knows he's Black. He knows his life expectancy is a little shorter
Yeah.
than the tables say. You're uncomfortable. They're fine.
Right. It's just there's a reality that it's so easy for people to try to stray away from because it's a little bit uncomfortable. But facts are facts, reality is reality. And as long as we are rooted in truth, I mean, goodness, we can move forward. Right. You know, and we don't have a ton of time left in the segment, but I'm kind of curious here. And I'm going to be kind of throwing myself under the bus here. It might look kind of funny and in my own end. See, I understand financial planning, you know, the personal finance, business finance. I get that stuff. But why do smart, capable people still feel intimidated by taxes, estate planning, and that financial planning side? Because I do not claim to understand taxes well, and I certainly don't understand estate planning.
Great question. And I think it's two main reasons. One, it's FOMO, fear of missing out.
Mm.
Everybody, wherever they are, whatever they're doing, you are always exposed to the next greatest thing and you always think you're missing it. You constantly have the feeling that I am doing something wrong. So you therefore don't do anything or do just enough. What we also don't understand is what questions should I even ask? And no one likes to admit that I don't even know who, even people who go, I need to talk to an accountant. Well, they don't really know how do I evaluate an accountant? What questions should I ask? They go by someone's recommendation, maybe, but that's still someone, I'm a laborer, but I'm talking to my business owner. We're
Right,
going to have
yeah.
two totally different needs.
You're absolutely right. And
And
I
but
love that you put that in that format because referrals are a big thing. And sometimes the people referring to might be, we might have other motives for referring them. Maybe there's an incentive for us to. Maybe there's a relationship there, but they might not be the best option. So, to evaluate the right people is so important. And, to our audience, I would say financial confidence begins when people stop feeling overwhelmed by the language of money and start understanding the decisions in front of them. And I'm so glad Cecily is here to kind of walk us through some of this because this is one of the areas that, I'm good with business, but there's so many things even I have to learn. But in the next segment, after this break, we'll be looking at how tax planning, estate planning, and business decisions really connect in that long-term sustainability. Welcome back to Biz Talk. Stay connected to this show and every Now Media TV favorite, live or on demand, anytime you like. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and unlock nonstop bilingual programming in English and Spanish. On the move, you can catch the podcast version of the show at www.nowmedia.tv from business and news to lifestyle, culture, finance, leadership, and so much more. Now Media TV is streaming around the clock. Ready whenever you want. Now, before the break, Cecily and I were discussing why financial clarity matters when life or business becomes way more complex. Now that we're kind of moving this conversation along, we could spend all day on that topic, I promise, but really, we want to move into preparation. How tax planning, estate, and gift tax guidance, really, retirement planning is also a big part of this, and business decisions can help people avoid confusion and respond with confidence instead of that panic that we all tend to feel when we get into that world ourselves. So, Cecily, it's such a pleasure to have you here. Thank you for being on this show. I'm so excited to dive into this.
Let's go. Let's go. The more we can help people, I'm a firm believer in high tide, all boats rise. So let's.
Ooh, I love that. I've yet to hear that one in particular, and I'm probably going to steal that from you unintentionally. But diving right back into this because you have a mountain of experience, knowledge, and heart behind what you do. So, as a curious side of me, in a way that I really think our audience is going to tie to this, how should business owners think about tax planning before they're facing a deadline or a really uncomfortable surprise?
There's so much related to tax planning that truly does not show up on your return. That's part of what tax planning is. And we hear the term taxes, and the most intelligent people I know go, la, 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 nope, can't hear you. I don't want to know. I assure you, we have the ability to ask the right questions and be prepared. Part of it is recognizing you're never going to get it 100% right. I'm a CPA, PFS, CFP. I've been doing it 8 billion years, worked for myself, worked at large companies. I've bounced a check more than once, furious that I did it, but it's no expectation of perfection. We add that stress to ourselves, which therefore stops us from moving forward. We look at things and go, I'm not sure what this is, so I'm going to close my eyes and sign. That means you're missing opportunities. I assure everybody, if you were to take a look at your books as a business owner, something that is a foreign language to you, and look at it the first month, you don't know what you're looking at. Doesn't matter. Look at it. The second month, you're like, I wonder why that number changed. I don't know. The third month, you are actually looking at it now. You are capable of making decisions because you're capable of going, gee, I wonder why that changed. You don't need to be a tax expert, but you do need to be willing to look at what you need to look at instead of closing your eyes. Closing your eyes to things always makes it so much worse. And part of the planning is seeing when inconsistencies happen. Even if you don't know why they're happening, you can see when something's inconsistent if you're just keeping an eye on it.
Yeah, I love how you put that in a few different ways. Number one, I've got to say, it reminds me of something Jim Rohn said that always stuck with me. You know, a lot of people, better or worse, some of the most intelligent people sometimes cover their eyes and turn away from their garden and say, there are no weeds, there are no weeds, there are no weeds. But if you turn away, the weeds will take your garden. So it's a matter of you've got to keep a finger on the pulse. You've got to look at it. You've got to stay engaged. And it doesn't have to be the whole center of your life by any means, but there is value in staying focused in that. And you know, it being prepared is so vitally important to the success of anything. But I will say one thing I've got to highlight is one of the biggest mistakes of people in life is having this false expectation of the need to be perfect or never make a mistake. Because even as you expressed, with all this experience and knowledge, you've made mistakes. I've made Absolutely. Countless mistakes. As a matter of fact, some of the business mistakes I've made have cost amounts of money that would make most people sick. And the reality is, mistakes are chances to learn. They're opportunities Exactly. to grow from. Right. And if we have this expectation of perfection, we will always disappoint ourselves. But
well, and I love how you view it as an optimistic and an opportunity. You can also view it as, crap, I'm pissed, and I'm trying not to do that yet. And I'm saying that with intent because we're also in an environment where everyone is very much positivity, 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 and you're going forth, and it's a great opportunity. I'm okay with emotions are just emotions. They're what you do with them. I've had some really successful things happen because out of spite, someone said I couldn't do it. And there have been mistakes that I've made financially, running a business, et cetera, that took me a little longer to correct than I should have because I do have a village that loves me. My husband was the first one to go, why are you still working where you're working? Your perspective, you're constantly fighting. No one values that. You bring a different perspective. The clients love you. The powers that be, you make them uncomfortable. And I think that's part of why I'm so pragmatic about everything, because I know what it's like to have the rules don't quite fit me right. That doesn't mean that I can't be successful and manage and do what I need to do. Or the clients were responding fine to me. They were excited. They're like, oh, no one ever explained it to me that way.
Yeah. It's like a breath of fresh air.
Exactly. Exactly. And recognizing that there is a need for the respective professions. Finding your fit within the profession is definitely a challenge because we as CPAs suck at saying you're not a fit. We like to help people. And so we get a phone, well, sure, I can try. Sure, I can try. They're not talking to the correct client. The client doesn't know the correct questions to ask. Their expectations are wrong. So there's constant friction, constant friction. And so bringing those two together, helping you figure out where do I fit, simultaneously, I'm trying to change the industry so we are better about communicating to people instead of communicating the law, because we do need the professions. Stuff is complicated. I'd like it to not be complicated. Everyone who thinks y'all like the complexity, like you've never spoken to anyone who does this. I'm sorry, I'm a smart person. I'll find another job.
Yep, exactly.
We don't like the complexity either, but it's there. So we have to deal with it, which means talking to professionals. You just got to find the right one.
You're so, and you know, to kind of bring myself down to, you know, sometimes, and I try to be a humble person the best I can be, because reality is I'm no different from anybody else. I just, you know, I'm very blessed with what I do in life and how far I've come. But I will say, you know, I look for expert guidance on a lot of things. I'm a business consultant. I've worked with well over 36 businesses in just the last 2 years in 24 different industries. I don't have all the answers all the time. You got to bring people in that can help. And people like you are people I look for intentionally to help. And a great example is, you know, I don't understand a lot of things in your world. Like, as a matter of fact, I'll actually lead right into a question out of curiosity. And I would like to take notes on this, Stephen, is, you know, what are some of those common misunderstandings people have about, like, let's say estate planning or gift tax planning? I know nothing about gift tax planning.
So first, when people hear those terms, they think it's not applicable to them. Everyone has an estate. You're going to die. Your parents are going to die. So it's just the way it is. Going to hit by a bus. That's what's going to happen. So everyone needs to have some sort of plan. And I think what we miss is we get so caught up in all of these trends of, I need a trust. I need a this. We need to start from the beginning. Stop. What do you want? And then we reverse engineer it. Whether it's legal or not, or how to do it or not, that's a secondary question. That first, I need to know, what do you need? What is your family like? What's your family dynamic? What do you want to do? Then we discuss the pros and cons of, we all know we all want to control everything from the grave, but come on now, let's be real. How much of that is going to work and isn't going to work? And a ton of estate and gift planning deals with opportunity costs. If you happen to be on the very wealthy side where you truly are worried about estate taxes, there are tons of things that you can do and not have to. Estate tax is one of the only voluntary taxes. There's a ton of things you can do. You give up control, and people are like, well, I still want control, but I want it out of my estate. Well, you know what? I want to lose weight, but I don't feel like exercising.
I love how simple you make this. This is such a nice experience for me, because it's funny, the way you just explained this just totally connected the dots for me, because I work all the time with exit strategies for businesses. All the time. One of the most common things I work with business owners on is exit strategy. What you're talking about is just an exit strategy for life. Instead of an exit strategy for business, exit strategy for life. That connected the dots for me. That just made a whole lot of sense. And, you know, I love this conversation. This is so much fun. To our, you know, for our audience that want to know more about what you have to offer and would love to soak in this type of influence and learn from someone like you, where can they find you?
They need to go to theaccountantyoucanunderstand.com. Specifically, theaccountantyoucanunderstand.com. There is a free checklist for your audience. There's a free checklist and a free masterclass that goes through exactly what we were talking about. How do you find your right person? How do you find your fit? It walks through the whole, gee, I wish someone had told me before, how to best work with my CPA. All those questions that we said, I'm not sure how to answer. I'm not sure how to ask. That's where you need to go. There's, of course, the usual social media. You can find the things that I speak about, et cetera, et cetera. But theaccountantyoucanunderstand.com is where you're going to get a free checklist and even a free quick masterclass.
See, I like free, and free is nice. So if there's anything I can learn for free, I'm always willing. So thank you so much for sharing with the audience that. That's so valuable. And I encourage everyone, check around, check that out. Anything for free that's wisdom that can help you, it's worth checking out. So coming up next, we will discuss leadership, service, and what financial professionals learn from advising institutions and public bodies. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Biz Talk. Again, I'm your host, Ryan Herpin. And on the episode today, I am accompanied by Cecily Welch. And, well, we have been discussing financial clarity and preparation. And in this segment, we're going to be looking at leadership and professional responsibility, including Cecily's service on advisory and governing bodies, her public speaking, her radio appearances, and the role trusted financial professionals play in helping institutions, communities, and clients make even stronger decisions. Now, this is a big dynamic topic. So we're going to try to compact this the best we can, but so far I'm confident Cecily's going to deliver some incredible value here. So, Cecily, thank you so much for being a part of this. It's such a pleasure to have you here. I'm loving the conversation so far.
I am as well. I'm excited that you're going to ask about the public service piece because I think that's critical. I think that's critical.
I couldn't agree with you more. It's becoming a very, very important part of what I do and what my firm does. But you have served on organizations including the city of Atlanta, governing board of the Inspector General, and so many other things. It's unbelievable the amount of service you've really provided and the different roles you've been in. I mean, goodness, the IRS Advisory Council. How has that service shaped the way you advise clients? What kind of influence has that really played for you, and what has that changed about your service?
It's changed my service and my approach in multiple different ways. So the wonderful thing about being a CPA is we are inherently a trusted advisor. And people believe we are coming in looking at things objectively, which we are. But what has really helped me is that everyone knows what the mega wealthy does. Everyone knows what the working poor does. No one knows what all those people in the middle actually do. What do rich people do? Well, they're not trying to be in the news. No one knows what their strategies are, et cetera. And these people also aren't the people who have enough wealth to have a lobby, or even the working poor individually, they don't, but there's an entire industry focused on them. So they have a lobby. So that in-between piece, I really felt it was important to give that voice to these respective policymakers, to the councils, to the interpretation of how does this really impact people. And it opened my eyes to a few things. One, I truly believe the reason you're in the room is to say something. If you're not going to say something, then you're a waste of space. I just have to figure out how to say it in a way that it's received as valuable information instead of confrontational. And the example that I like to use, that I was when I was on the governing board of the basically ethics. People don't know what an inspector general is. It's a whole step above ethics, but I just say it's the ethics. There was a company that part of what they were getting dinged for and pulled for and reported on was they needed to turn around some paperwork in like 2 weeks, and I kind of just said, well, how big is this company? And they said, oh, it's two people. You expect them to turn around paperwork in 2 weeks? That, are you insane? That's what I'm thinking. Like that's not a reasonable expectation of small businesses. And getting anyone to understand that they thought that was a perfectly reasonable, I'm like, they have no one in-house. They have to contact their accountant. How are they going to pay their accountant to pull all this? This is not a reasonable expectation. And I bring those things up frequently in the rooms that I'm in because I hate when people go, well, we need to educate in financial literacy. I'm going, I'm telling you, poor people know more about budgeting than anybody else. They've got it down. We need to learn from them. That's not what
Breach,
the
that
issue
is
is.
so accurate. It's unreal.
It's like they're making an informed choice not to be banked. It's not that they don't understand. It's you've got $2,000 of expenses and you make $1,800. Why are you going to open a bank account? That's an informed decision. But so it opened my eyes that I needed to continue to have those types of discussions. The expectation that these regulatory bodies have in terms of implementing policy of what business owners can do and their expectation, you're going, what? And there's no empathy. There is no, you're small, you don't really have to do this. I want to change that. That's why I'm in these spaces. But the communication that I have going down with mid-sized businesses and small businesses is to get them to understand with clarity, they don't care. I understand why you can't do fill in the blank. They don't care. And part of the reason is actually logical. If you're running a business, you're running a business because you're trying to stay profitable. You want to know what's profitable, what isn't. Coca-Cola doesn't have a 300-person accounting department just to file reports. They have a huge accounting department because they want to know it's profitable, it isn't, da da da. So most regulatory agencies view it as you're doing this anyway because you're running a business. We just want it on our forms. We know that that's not necessarily a reasonable expectation. And also, we know that, yeah, but your forms are like 12 pages and it changes every year, and the complexity of having to do this maintenance. And further, now that technology is starting to catch up with us, I spend a ton of time with businesses where I never had to do fill in the blank before. I know you never had to do it, but technology is catching up. And I love analogies. That's how I translate to people. And I give them this example. You remember, about 10 years ago, you could write a check knowing there was no money in the account, but you have 4 days. I can run to the bank. I can get it in there. Well, it's always been illegal to write a check on an account that has no money, but no one noticed or cared. But today, you better have that money in there right now. And it's not that the law changed, technology changed. It's the same thing with the different tax reporting, state reporting, all those things, those laws. There's now a computer who can find those things that it wasn't able to be found before.
Something that I've got to point out here that I've got to bring it up because it's sheer gold is that you're able to be an advocate for these small businesses on the opposite side of where I've had to advocate. And contrary to a lot of people's belief, my firm does service small businesses as well. We have an entire portion of our firm where we are focused heavily on small businesses. We wanted to be able to serve pretty much everybody, but and I have been in that position many, many times where I'm having to defend or to help, small business navigate some of these really ridiculous expectations. And it's unfortunate that that's there, but I'm so glad that you're somebody that's able to be on the other end saying, hey, like, think about this logically. There's a lot of steps they have to take. It's more financially, it really does make a bigger material impact on them. I mean, there's so much there that people miss, but with that being said as well, you're building a massive amount of influence and you've got a lot of experience to share that can really make a difference for people. And you've appeared on Georgia Public Radio and spoken publicly on financial topics. Why is public education such an important part of your work now?
That's a great question. I think I want people to see the connectivity. There's an obscure line in the tax law that no one understands why it matters. I need you to understand why it matters. All these things impact us in such a tremendous way. The politics of it actually is irrelevant. Everything we do is in the code. Way back when everyone at least agreed on what the problems were, they just disagreed on how to solve them. We care about the environment. Well, Republican solution, conservation easement. If you want my land and you want me to not build on it, give me a charitable contribute, give me a charitable deduction. Well, Democratic side, well, no, we don't want you to do anything with the land, so we're going to take it. Eminent domain. Both still solving a problem, just in a totally different way. But both of those are in the tax law. They're in the tax law. The pragmatism of how we fit this, business owners perpetually, the last several years, I'm having a hard time finding people. I'm having a hard time finding people. I'm having a hard time finding people. And we walk out of the meeting, and then they start venting to me because I'm taxed. I've been retired forever. Why am I paying for public schools? Weren't we just saying you can't find people? Those are connected. This is connected. We were doing a comment letter on some of the different changes with private school credits, vouchers, all that. And someone on the committee said, well, I'm not sure that we can comment on that because that's political. I said, well, that's not political, that's math. Whether you, I don't view it as political. It when you have more private vouchers that reduces the number, the money to pub. That's just math. Isn't that why they want us here to show the math? That way you make the decision with intent. And I think people don't connect the big laws that happen, to how this impacts you, where you're working, what communities get built, what don't, which industries we're incentivizing, why everyone says real estate is how you want to invest. Well, why? Because it's a preferred part of tax code. Where? Fine. We have things in the tax code that encourage or discourage behavior. Of course we do. They want people to buy houses. Mortgage interest deduction. Yay, that's good for everybody. That's good for the country. Estate tax came along, was not revenue raising. It was never meant to be. Estate taxes came about because it was determined for America, we didn't want to create dynasties. That was the whole purpose of estate tax.
You know, it's funny because people have a tendency to want to go really political on things when in reality, it's just how things
it's
work.
Math.
There's reasons behind stuff, and math is math. Numbers don't lie. 1 + 1 will always equal 2. And I love that you approach it that way of just, it's practical. And to our audience, this conversation has been so incredible. If you have not grabbed a pen and a pad, I recommend you do that for our next segment here because the value in this is incredible. So after the break, we will bring this conversation home with practical guidance for business owners, families, and professionals who want to make better financial decisions. So grab coffee, stretch out, grab popcorn, whatever it is you got to do. We'll be back with more Biz Talk. Welcome back to Biz Talk. Stay connected to this show and every Now Media TV favorite, live or on demand, anytime you like. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and unlock nonstop bilingual programming in both English and Spanish. You on the move? You can always catch the podcast version at www.nowmedia.tv for business and news to lifestyle, culture, and far, far beyond. Now Media TV is streaming around the clock, ready whenever you want. Now, we are back to the very fun conversations we're having today with Cecily, and I have to be very honest here. This is a breath of fresh air for me, talking to somebody in her field that is this real and authentic with the reality of what's actually going on and what really matters. So I have been talking about financial clarity, preparation, leadership, and practical decisions to help people move through complexity with more confidence, right? Well, this final segment, we're going to be focusing on what viewers can actually do next, especially when they are facing a transition, a financial decision, or a new responsibility they don't want to handle alone. So, Cecily, thank you for being here. This has been an incredible episode thus far, and I'm really looking forward to diving into this one.
You're welcome, Ryan. Tell me what my first official question is.
Now, this diving into this, getting right to the point is, you know, for someone who feels financially organized on the surface but knows they need deeper guidance, where should they begin?
That's a hot button. That's a hot button. So I think they begin with acknowledging what no one wants to say out loud. I don't even know where to start. I can get a ton of research on Google. That's just a ton of research. But finding a person I don't want to feel sold to. I don't want a sales pitch. But the profession, I can't have a sustainable practice by constantly giving free advice and just talking to people on the phone for 2 or 3 hours. And frankly, that's kind of where I come in to help you find your fit and bridge the gap from both sides. We mentioned during one of the breaks that I think it's critical to move from helping on a micro level to helping on a macro level. And that is my approach to doing that. my brother calls me the hippiest capitalist he's ever met because I love money. Don't we all? Why do we keep acting like we don't? That drives me bananas. The whole humility. Well, it's not about the money. Of course it's about the money. No one's saying you have to gouge people, but the professional that you want to talk to, they can't give you free advice all the time. That isn't a business model. They can't do that. But then you, as the person needing assistance, never feel like you're getting what you need. You always feel like you're getting sold to, and you're very worried about buyer's remorse. So I think we mentioned before that, there's I'm pre-launching. I'm in the midst of writing a book called "Your Accountant is Full of Shit." Can I say that online?
That's good. I like the title of that.
short-sighted, hesitant, and intimidated by taxes. And it speaks specifically to why we've come to this point and why we as a profession need to change so people don't feel like, I don't even know where to start. And we spend so much time, and we have to because our licenses depend on it and our livelihood depends on it. We've got to get the law part right. And we don't spend really much time at all getting the client part right. That's why you don't know what to ask. And frankly, that's why I tell people go to the accountantyoucanunderstand.com and take that master class. It helps you define, oh, here's who I need to talk to. Here's who I find my right industry size, my right type of service that I need. How is it defined? Because we don't have time to explain to you why or why you are not a fit. And it's bad marketing to say, yeah, I like you, but you're not a fit. Yeah, that sounds bad, right? And so when we find the right fit and recognize that our professionals do need to talk to each other and just accept that financial stuff is complicated, even though we want it not to be. And systems have been brought into place to simplify that have actually made it so much more complex because no one understands the why anymore. The example that I like to use is if you're talking to your attorney or your CPA and you're figuring out my business plan, my personal plan, I am thinking ahead about my family, and we say something like, hey, you really need a payable on death account when your parents are aging, et cetera, and you go into the bank. I assure you, the person at the front of the bank is going to go, oh, I'll just put your name on it. That's not what your accountant or your lawyer said. But the banker is going, you should. Don't get me wrong. They haven't been trained in it. They've just been told, here's your checklist. They probably don't know what a payable on death account is because the people with experience are in the back. The computer says, do this. So, knowing two people just told me something different, let me make a phone call. That will help you make the moves and deal with the complexity. It won't solve the complexity. We do now in this day and age have to be Columbo. We do now, this speaks to what I mentioned before, how I'm more often than not the different voice in the room. The advantage of me having the years of experience of not just technical, not just filing the forms, but as weird as this sounds, Ryan, I'm still usually the youngest person in the room, one of the few women. Certainly the only black person, and I'm considered, oh, you're new to the field. After 30 years, I'm considered new. So I do debate estate attorneys when they go, well, just you need to get a power of attorney. Have you ever gone with a client to the bank with a power of attorney? No. Banks have stopped honoring them, but they don't know that. Like if you haven't had to execute this with this person, we need to do the pragmatic side of this, which is why finding the right professional, and yes, you need the professional. The do-it-yourself tools should be tools, not the answers.
Ooh, I agree with that very, very heavily. You know, it's kind of funny. You're addressing something in a very different way that really ties to something that I talk about a lot. And I even have a kind of a whole keynote really developed on this. It's what I call the progression of growth is the best way I could put it, as in there is knowledge, there is experience, there is wisdom, and there's influence. You know, a lot of people have heard the saying, knowledge is power. I disagree. Knowledge is merely information without application, right? Now, experience is when knowledge has been tested repeatedly. And then wisdom is when you really gain wisdom through that constant application and trial and error. And then when you have wisdom and you share it effectively, so that people can avoid the same scars and mistakes you went through. That's influence, right? So the way I see it is influence is really where power lies, and something I like to apply it to that makes really understandable for a lot of people is that you can learn anything from watching a battlefield from afar. So Google, AI, you can learn all this information, but without application, it doesn't really no good for you. So experience is gained when you step on the battlefield yourself. Wisdom is earned when you've survived enough battles to truly understand what matters. And influence is earned when you have shared that well enough for other people to avoid the mistakes, right? You don't want to go into a very important, powerful situation being the I have the knowledge, but don't know how to apply it. No, you want to
I
find
love that.
people that are already past the stage of I've got my experience, I've developed the wisdom. Now I'm helping others avoid the mistakes and make the right decisions. So I put it simple to people all the time. Knowledge informs, experience educates, wisdom understands, and influence multiplies. You gotta pay attention to what stage you're comfortable with for wherever you're at, whatever you're doing.
Right.
And when it
And you
comes
have
to,
to grow
yeah.
through it. You can't jump from step. I love that, Ryan. I love the so we've been talking a little bit about estate, a little bit about inheritance, and I'll make this quick. I lost my father early. He didn't hit 65. We lost him at 64. And part of me thinks that happened for a reason. So my family will all actually get along, which believe it or not is rare. That's the sad part. But going through that and having had done this as a profession as well, I knew what was about to happen. So my father passed. I managed and did a lot of the paperwork, figuring stuff out. And it was quote unquote simple. We didn't have a complicated family, but you still, oh my God, fill out forms 12 billion times. I tell people all the time, when you have a death in the family, get 20 death certificates. Oh my God, I don't need, trust me, just get them. It's like and you walk them through. Somebody somewhere is going to lose it. Yes, you sent it. I don't doubt you, but just have the patience to do it. Well, of course, my mother's going through all that and we're helping her. But as she's going through that, she's perpetually just predicting her death. And my brother's like, oh my God, what is going on? But I knew because I'd done this. I was like, it's perfectly normal. I hate to say, as devastating as this is actually a normal phase. She will plan her death. Don't worry morbidly. She's not about to jump off a cliff. She's not, it still hurts,
It's the natural progression.
but it's normal. And sure enough, it took about a year, year and a half, she had finished planning her death. Then she actually started thinking about, gee, what am I going to do now? And then she started planning her life. But you got to go through that. And knowing that, and knowing the pragmatism of, at least if you know you're not going crazy, you can manage the other dumb stuff that's coming down the pipe. Because paperwork's going to be wrong, someone's going to do something wrong. Things like, please don't call the bank the day after somebody dies. Just wait a minute. It's okay. Just wait. There's nothing that urgent that yet. Call a funeral home, but really wait on the other stuff.
There's a lot of things that are not as immediate as a lot of people tend to believe in the moment. But Cecily, thank you so much for this conversation today. This has been absolutely incredible, and I really appreciate you being here. I know I've learned a lot, and to our audience, watch this back as many times as you need to really gather some of that wisdom, some of that experience. And decide to work with people that really know what they're doing. So, to everyone watching, whether you are building a business, managing a transition, planning for retirement, navigating tax decisions, or simply trying to understand your next financial step, clarity is possible. The more you understand your options, the stronger your next decision truly becomes. Again, I'm Ryan Herpin, and this has been Biz Talk. We'll see you next time.